All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. The Epstein Island Scandal. Secret societies are created when multi-billionaires, royalty, academics, politicians, actors, the wealthy, the famous people commit criminal acts. And these criminal acts are so shameful, it would shock the world to know the truth. Sexual trafficking of children and young girls is just one of these secrets the elite is keeping from you and me. Why haven't the names of Jeffrey Epstein's little black book been revealed? I want the names. You want the names. Why do those we vote into political office feel as if they can hold the truth over our heads and determine what the public needs to know? Fear. Fear is the answer. Jeffrey Edward Epstein, born January 20th, 1953, was raised in Coney Island, New York, a middle-class area where Epstein would go on to skip two grades in high school and graduate in 1969. Attending Cooper Union College, he would drop out after 2 years. These things must have begun to have the idea that he was better than and no needing of further education. Wherein he lies about having a degree on his resume and lands a teaching job at the Dalton School in Manhattan. This is when his addiction to young women would become known to those who were near him. 8 students at Dalton said his conduct with teenage girls had left an impression that they would never forget. A student by the name of Scott Spicer, who graduated in 1976 from Dalton, said, "I can remember thinking at the time, this is wrong." The students went on to say that Epstein was willing to violate norms in his encounter with girls. The lifelong pattern of Epstein getting away with things that other people can't is now in motion. In 1976, Ace Greenburn was the CEO of Bear Stearns, a New York-based global investment bank that worked with securities, trading, and brokerage, heavily involved in the subprime mortgage crisis. The recession and global financial crisis in 2008 forced the firm to be sold to J.P. Morgan Chase. It was here at Bear Stearns where Ace asked executive Michael Tenenbaum to interview Epstein for a position, now due to his interest in Wall Street. Somehow Epstein was even dating Ace's daughter at the time. It was business as usual for Epstein, using his manipulative charisma and charm to move up the ladder that he would one day fall very far from. Tenenbaum went on to say that Epstein was good at his job, calling him quick-witted. Where he would rise fast in the company, 2 months into his career at Bear Stearns, he was found to be a fraud and lying again on his resume. He came clean to Tenenbaum, then manipulated him to keep him on, where he even became a partner before getting fired for, quote, breaking some rules. It can be imagined with his manipulative charm that Epstein would have met many influencing men in this trade. Where his fortune would be created, Epstein was new money. He wasn't born into wealth, and had no inheritance to speak of, becoming a master in deception and avoiding being stopped or even slowed down, getting everything he wants and getting away with it all. A very important figure in Epstein's ultimate pyramid of human sex trafficking was Stephen Hoffenberg. Epstein's wealth may have not been possible if it were not for Stephen Hoffenberg. In 1986, Epstein met him after being thrown out of Bear Stearns. Hoffenberg was the CEO of Towers Financial Corporation. Epstein had worked for an investment company in France, and the CEO called Hoffenberg and asked him to look into hiring Epstein for the North American branch. But to be careful, his moral compass was upside down. Epstein, the man of integrity that he is, was caught stealing from his expense account there and had lost his job. Hoffenberg was one of the men involved in those large Ponzi pyramid schemes in the late 80s, where Epstein may as well have hit the lottery, getting lucky because they ripped off thousands of middle-class families of their savings. In one of their scams, they made $460 million using false financial statements to exaggerate the value of his company to lure in new investors. Hoffenberg got caught for the scams and got charged and found guilty to serve 20 years in federal prison. He never gave them Epstein's name. Epstein had claimed to be a cooperating witness in another case in his past and had attraction with them. Stephen Hoffenberg claimed that Epstein's ability to control people became an ability at this point that he had perfected. Jeffrey Epstein would build a life of privilege and pleasure as a billionaire. He owned a huge 10,000-acre ranch in New Mexico, a 26,000-square-foot house in Dayton, Ohio, behind his friend and partner in business, Les Wexner. Les Wexner is an American business owner of many notable companies, some you may have heard of, such as Bath & Body Works, Abercrombie & Fitch, Victoria's Secret, and Pink. And he is estimated to be worth $5.7 billion. Just one example of the powerful people in Epstein's secret society. A young lady named Annie Farmer, one of Epstein's victims, was held by Wexner's personal private security force on site of his home, even when the girl's father was there to pick her up when she had called and told him that she needed to get out of there. After a nightmarish stay and barely surviving what his victims would call the typical massage on Jeff Epstein, Les Wexner even gave power of attorney over his wealth to Epstein. Was this stunt an example of how close they were, or how manipulative Jeffrey Epstein could be? Wexner would later say that Epstein stole $46 million from him and would then cut ties with him in the year 2007. That is what the experts of Epstein would come to claim, but who knows how many times Jeffrey Epstein would use his friendships and close connections with Wexner to manipulate young women wanting to become a Victoria's Secret model. Epstein would use his charm and quick wit to create a powerful alliance of friends in his circle, and would eventually include not only Wexner, but Alan Dershowitz, Elon Musk, Andrew Cuomo, several U.S. senators, academics, musicians, actors, Courtney Love, Alec Baldwin, and including the violinist Itzhak Perlman. Actors such as Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker, Even U.S. Attorney William Barr, Alex Acosta, and you may have heard of Jean-Luc Brunel. He just died February 9th of this year in a Paris prison. Brunel was in prison for several rape and charges against minors. He also was a model scout. What a coincidence. The perfect place to find women striving to do something with their life. The perfect place for a predator to prey. And Epstein's good friend. And he lives across the ocean in Paris, France, where Epstein owns a luxurious apartment, where he would always have young girls ready and waiting for his massage therapy. Eventually, he trafficked thousands of girls in different countries to different powerful men. Although none of them admit to having a clue Epstein was up to anything that he was convicted of, how convenient for these incredibly intelligent men. Even some were selected to be president of our country and still were not aware enough of their surroundings to know their close friends was up to these heinous, shameful acts. Well, I guess they aren't detectives, are they? Donald Trump has a mansion 1 mile away from Epstein's on what they call Billionaire Row. On one of the Virgin Islands, where Epstein purchased a $15 to $20 million mansion in 1990, Epstein was a frequent regular at Trump's famous club, the Mar-a-Lago, where eventually Epstein's usual behavior would get him banned from Mar-a-Lago for sexually assaulting a waitress. Trump in 2002 said, in a quote that haunts him, I'm sure, "Epstein is a lot of fun to be with. He's a terrific guy. It is said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side." Later on, Trump would go on to say, "I barely knew the guy." How much of that are we to believe at this point? Where is the integrity of a supposed great man who led our nation, became our president? Jeffrey Edward Epstein was a disgusting pedophile who got away with destroying many people's lives, thousands of people's lives. All the powerful people that he had maintained contact with would also be used as an ultimate tool in his sex trafficking of thousands of women and barely being held accountable any more than a man who committed petty larceny. Epstein would go on to rape, molest, and destroy hundreds of young girls and spend less than a year in a county jail. It would seem as if Jeffrey Epstein was a predator looking for the perfect hunting ground when he chose to buy his mansion on West Palm Beach. If you were to scout out the mainland that's closest to Epstein's mansion, you would find 7 schools within a 3-mile radius. A mid to low class society full of broken homes, young women who would take risk as if it meant a chance at a better life. A life like Epstein's. Although he would use his friendships, powerful connections, and all these like-minded men to set the stage of intimidation on the hundreds of underage females who would become victim to his evil sex trafficking society, when the police finally raided Epstein's mansion, they would find cameras in every corner of every room in the mansion. This would mean there would be plenty of footage of what went on in that hellhole. No tapes or recorded footage has yet to see the light of day. It is said that Epstein and partner in crime Ghislaine Maxwell have tapes hidden somewhere waiting to come out. Perhaps this is the reason for Epstein's murder. Maybe that's why it also got called a suicide. The same reason that Ghislaine Maxwell fears for her life as she spends her days incarcerated. I would like to ask you, if you would imagine a scenario for me, a scenario of your living situation where you are in a lower to middle community wanting to escape from a broken home. You are a young girl who has already been abused mentally, physically, possibly even raped. You hope to get out of this place that you've been stuck in, seeing everyone around you struggle financially. You have aspirations to become an artist, a model, a massage therapist, wanting to be anything other than where you are currently. You are 14 years old in school with several other girls stuck in your too familiar living situation. You are approached one day by a classmate. She's a young girl your age. She tells you how she made $300 massaging an old rich guy. She invites you to go with her so that you can make some money as well. The appearance of a harmless massage is now presented. All you must do is massage an older man for 30 minutes and you can earn the same $300. There is a risk, although you could use the money, in your mind the pros outweigh the cons. When you are on your way with your classmate, you are driving to a part of Florida that is obviously different from the rest of it. There are marinas filled with yachts, fine restaurants, stores you've only heard of or have seen on television. When you get to the island and arrive in Epstein's lair, it's an enormous mansion. James Patterson, the author, is his neighbor. You enter the mansion and see the lavish life of a disturbed billionaire. There are paintings of nude young women everywhere. You are led up to Jeffrey Epstein's favorite room. On the way there, you see pictures of Epstein with all sorts of powerful, famous men, ex-presidents, popes, royalty, academics, actors, the richest, most powerful men in the United States at this time. All the while, you are being led by your classmate through this quiet, isolated mansion. You reach the massage room. The girl who came with you takes you into the room where Epstein is lying face down with a towel covering his lower half. Thank God. Your own known recruiter tells you there's a catch. You must strip down to your underwear or even be naked while you give the massage. Your mind races. Should you just leave and run? She is in the room with you. You have made it this far. The recruiter seems fine and has been a part of this ritual before, and it must be okay. I don't want to ask to leave. What if they get angry and hurt me? How could I escape anyhow? We are on an island. I was driven here. She may not get me home. Then my parents may find out. There is no turning back now. So they strip down to their underwear, feeling sick, as they are told there's lotion you can use to massage this old man. You start the massage, eager to get through the ordeal and leave. Epstein looks at your recruiter, gives her a look that obviously is a communication in some way. Then your so-called partner who brought you tells you that she is going to step out so that you can finish up and she'll be waiting for you when you are finished. What is happening now? As the door closes, and you are now alone with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, for what I'm about to tell you, this may trigger many of you, but this is the victim's life, the surviving victims of Jeffrey Epstein. After being locked in a room with Jeffrey Epstein, he would rape these victims. And then when he was done, he'd leave and say the money's on the table. These terrified women, young women, would now find out that they were used in the same rituals that these pedophiles use to satisfy their insatiable thirst and their demented minds. Who would believe these young women if they were to tell these stories? As they walk through this mansion, they see the powerful men that he has partnered with. Who would believe you, a teenage girl, over a man who is friends with presidents, princes, politicians, and world-renowned lawyers? The hellish ordeal becomes your haunting, your deepest, darkest secret. Feelings of embarrassment, shame, and confusion are overwhelming, as you even question if yourself are to blame. You're a child. You aren't meant to understand how and why monsters like Jeffrey Epstein can destroy lives without even a shred of remorse or repercussion. I have found that it is not fair to mention the names of the victims of these ordeals. The terrifying nightmares that must still be in the minds of the victims that were taken to Jeffrey Epstein's island. It's beyond compare. Now, there was evidence found by the FBI of nearly 1,000 victims based on photographs found in his New York townhouse, where, of course, he lived across the street from Bill Cosby. Epstein would go on to create a secret society, filming, taking pictures of his victims, trafficking children between him and his clan of the rich and powerful. Mostly composed of young girls, he often asked his recruiters to bring their friends, classmates, and his words, "the younger, the better." Epstein had hundreds of young girls as recruiters. There was an international sex trafficking with Jean-Luc Brunel in Paris and abroad. Brunel was a model scout, and Epstein's connection to him meant that he could use this disguise to offer promises to young women looking to become models. Ghislaine Maxwell would be known as Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand man. Several victims would be led to him by Maxwell, which would confuse and present safety to the young girls, because Maxwell would claim to be Epstein's girlfriend. Now, under the impression they could give a massage to the pedophile without fear, because Maxwell was now in the room. Up until Epstein would give the look or nod of his head, and even Maxwell, a well-presented Englishwoman, would leave these girls alone with him, even with her knowing full well what Epstein was about to do. Ghislaine Maxwell is now serving time for horrible crimes. Those crimes would include count one, conspiracy to entice a minor to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, a maximum sentence of 5 years. Count two, enticing a minor to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, maximum sentence, 5 years. Count three, conspiracy to transport a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, a maximum sentence of 5 years. Count four, transporting a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activities, maximum sentence of 5 years. Count five, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of minors, a maximum sentence of 5 years. And count six, sex trafficking of minors, a maximum sentence of 40 years. Ghislaine Maxwell is to be sentenced in June of 2022. That's next month. I hope that the courts see that she is just as guilty as Epstein was. Who knows how many of these young girls would not have been exposed to this demon if not for Ghislaine Maxwell. Her cunning smile and charm, with her proper English voice spewing lies that wooed many girls into Epstein's dark and disgusting violent world, where the young girls would be deemed young prostitutes by Epstein's team of lawyers. Maxwell was the one who talked to these girls, finding out the information because the girls trusted her. Due to her cunning ways, she often would be told by these girls of their past, how these girls have already been raped, beaten, and traumatized. This did not stop Maxwell from letting them be alone with Jeffrey Epstein, knowing full well this monster's sexual rituals. Many victims say that they would not have ever been introduced to Epstein if it were not for Ghislaine Maxwell being his girlfriend. Ghislaine Maxwell wore a mask. She posed as a proper English woman, witty, charming, obviously alluring. All demons come as innocent until the mask is lifted. One victim asked Maxwell why she would bring girls to her boyfriend. Wasn't she jealous? She replied, "No, this way I don't have to do it." Maxwell, obviously very aware of Epstein's insatiable lust for children, lured them to her master, knowing full well the trauma and destruction Epstein was applying to numerous young women and children. Very notably, Prince Andrew claims that he had no friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, that he knew Ghislaine Maxwell and was friends with her. The Duke of York does not leave Buckingham Castle these days, considering Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. There are pictures of the prince walking with Epstein in a park in New York City. The prince even stayed for a 4-day retreat at the Epstein Island, even after Epstein's initial arrest and conviction of sexual misconduct with a minor. Prince Andrew, he went to break off the friendship with Epstein. Apparently, it was a 4-day conversation that took place. I am sure. I am unsure about you. When I want to end a relationship with someone, it doesn't take 4 days to accomplish that goal. Especially when the person is a registered sex offender. Lies can be a very childish thing. You see, when you tell a lie, you are assuming the person you are lying to is dumb enough to believe your childish lie. Nobody believes you, Prince Andrew. Do you think that we are all stupid, openly mocking and lying to us? Openly calling us sheep. They fear the public awakening because none of them would be able to survive leaving their homes. They fear the real wolves at the edge of the forest. Bill Clinton was practically a brother to Jeffrey Epstein, says Lady Victoria, a member of the British royalty. Former President Bill Clinton is seen on the internet getting his shoulders massaged by a young woman. Surprisingly, she's of age. Old Bill claims he was on Epstein's jet merely 4 times. The Lolita Express was the center of Epstein's secret society, just one of Epstein's planes in his fleet. This plane is a 727 Boeing. It has been converted to fit 29 passengers and has a private bedroom. And of course, a large massage room. This plane has padding on the floor, so you're able to have intimacy on the floor in mid-flight. It is very lavish with mahogany and teak. And Epstein had a masseuse who admitted looking back, although claiming never to have intimacy with this pedophile, it feels as if she was duped because it was quite obvious what was really going on this plane. Now, with all that being said, Bill Clinton was found after ex-police chief Michael Ryder's investigation that Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express 26 times. Proof in the manifest held by a partner in the investigation. In a 60-minute interview, Virginia Roberts Giuffre said that Epstein couldn't take a two-hour flight. I can't even repeat the words without having intimacy. That's how sick this man was. Virginia was just one of several of Epstein and his partner's victims that was trafficked. Several wealthy, powerful, elite people were on this Lolita Express, such as, stand by, Prince Andrew, Donald Trump, Alan Dershowitz, Elon Musk, numerous academics and musicians, violinist Itzhak Perlman, numerous actors like Chris Tucker, Kevin Spacey, senators like John Glenn, George Mitchell, Andrew Cuomo, and more. Nobody saw or knew anything, huh? Reminds me of the old BS saying, ignorance is bliss. In that same 60-minute interview, Virginia would go on to say it took everyone, all of Epstein's secret society of several members, doctors, dentists, gynecologists, psychologists, house staff, butlers, waitresses, hairstylists, drivers, all turning a blind eye to what he was doing. Turning a blind eye on protecting innocent children from being trafficked and sexually victimized. The child sex trafficking market is a $100 billion a year market. Modern day slavery. How could that go on unseen by these intelligent, witty, well-connected elite people without seeing anything at all out of the norm? Epstein is not the founder of this secret society. He is not the CEO. He was just a member who thought he was untouchable because of his wealth and his long time of getting whatever he wanted by lying and cheating, scamming his entire way, gaining his wealth. Epstein was a master at manipulation and recorded everything by cameras strategically placed throughout his houses, as well as handheld cameras due to the insane number of photographs found in investigations, which would tell me he was most likely into the blackmail and bribery schemes as well. This ultimately would lead to his death in jail. After investigations turned in the evidence, it is known that Epstein was involved in this sex trafficking society from at least 1990 up until his death in 2019. Epstein was a master at manipulation, once again. And once he was aware that an investigation was active on him, he put together a team of lawyers and private detectives, the best of the best, no matter the cost. An obvious move for a guilty man. This team of lawyers and private detectives went after victims and their families, and they were threatened, some even killed. Initially, proof of at least 80 victims were found in photographs and other evidence by Michael Ryder. Of those Ryder questioned, called all 80 of these young female children. After the barrage of men attacking the girls' friends and family, that list dwindled down to 37 of them. When asked to come forward, these girls were terrified, knowing full well who the other members of the secret society were and what they were capable of because of these six courageous girls that came forward and testified at Epstein's trial, we got some semblance of justice. These young girls and their families are fighting a huge war. A war inside of our elite's system. I believe it goes much deeper. Deep into a circle that involves satanic rituals, the Illuminati, wherein the most powerful men and women in our nation are very much a part of and active. Epstein Island was on a list of child trafficking hubs that were to be shut down, uncovered by Ted Gunderson. This story began long before Epstein Island made the media. The secret society exists today and will not be stopped until the public demands to find the truth. The absolute hardest thing to accept about this entire disgusting circle of degenerates is that it's not hard to see the truth. I myself had never heard of Jeffrey Epstein or this vicious circle. I started researching this topic merely 10 days ago, and the information is there for all with a brain to see. Now, once again, this is one of our Raven reporters. And when I tasked him with this very hard task, Epstein Island, he was not very aware of any of this. So what you are listening to is his findings. Let's continue. This is not a conspiracy. This is a fact. These people will tell you that this is a conspiracy, just like they said aliens were a conspiracy. If you came out in the public saying you saw a UFO before, recently you were labeled a nut. How many men tried to tell the public for years about UFOs, now known as UAPs, and were silenced by our government? Now, because of these officials who came out, these would-be tyrants admit that there are UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. Do you ever think they will ever come clean about stealing and destroying children in their lives? I doubt it. You see, your average American citizen doesn't want to believe these horrors are true, and they don't want to hear it. These monsters know this. And when the pictures are taken at satanic rituals and then released, people believe they're fake. When the photographer asks the partaker in these horrific satanic scenes, "Why are you letting me take these photos of you?" they simply say, "No one would believe it was true even with a photograph." That's a quote. Obviously, they're right. I'm not one to theorize. There are just too many coincidences. For example, Alex Acosta was a passenger on Epstein's plane. Donald Trump was a passenger on this plane. Trump nominated Acosta for the position of Secretary of Labor in 2017. Acosta resigned from the position in July 2019, the same year Epstein died. Three congressional Democratic leaders called on Acosta to resign after new charges came forward against Epstein. Acosta was a U.S. attorney, thereby allowing Epstein to avoid a federal trial and serve jail time instead of prison time. Alex Acosta was the U.S. attorney for the district court in Florida where the trial was at. The indictment that was being drafted for Epstein was 80 pages to start with and then cut down to 53 pages. This U.S. attorney in New York thinks it was strong enough. Acosta was not the only one to use the law to benefit Epstein. In 2011, the Manhattan District Attorney asked a judge to downgrade Epstein's sex offender status from the most restrictive to the least. The judge denied the request. Epstein thought this punishment was a joke, obviously. A famous quote from Epstein is, quote, "I'm not a sexual predator. I'm an offender. It is the difference between a person that commits murder to a person who steals a bagel." Really? molesting children, raping children, is compared to stealing a bagel. Once again, Epstein gets away with a slap on the hand. He slept in jail. Although he was about the community and working in his business office, this is not punishment. If the 53-page indictment would have been served, Epstein would have served 45 years in federal penitentiary. Acosta's excuse is that the indictment didn't present a strong enough case. There are more of these coincidences all throughout this horror story. Donald Trump claimed in an interview that what anybody did 15 years ago shouldn't be held against them. What about the murderers in prison? Should they be deemed innocent after 15 years? The answer is no. Those children will live with the trauma that these disgusting men caused for life. There is no expiration on that date, on that pain. Why should there be a time limit on these men's crimes? Are they better than you and me? Just like Epstein, these men think they're above the law. Epstein died on August 10th, 2019. He was to serve a year in a private Manhattan jail, imprisoned for federal sex trafficking charges involving girls as young as 14. Epstein had been on suicide watch at one point, where he told another inmate that he was strangled, making a sign to him that two hands were placed around his neck. And he didn't know what happened, and then he woke up on the floor. Even after this, he claimed to be living a, quote, wonderful life, denying any thoughts of taking his life. While sitting on suicide watch and facing a truckload of legal troubles, Epstein claimed to a prison psychologist how he hated pain, how he would never do that to himself. He would never commit suicide. But 2 weeks later, Epstein was found dead. The medical examiner said he hung himself. Of course, that was found to be a bunch of BS by an outstanding examination. The county's medical examiner claims where they found false by other experts. One inmate claimed at 6:30 a.m. on the morning of his death that he saw Epstein gasping for air. So, he just kept telling Epstein to breathe. Although a further investigation went on to say Epstein was dead 2 hours before this at 4:30 a.m. When the guards found Epstein, they moved his body to the local emergency room. This is not typical protocol. Nobody should move a dead body. This is why they claimed he was still alive. While everyone was waiting for him to snitch on the high-profile, like-minded pedophile friends, Epstein was then murdered. He was taken off a suicide watch. They stopped checking on Epstein, and he returned to his usual cell, no longer behind any type of protection, housed no longer in the special housing unit called SHU. Another coincidence. Now, people on Twitter posted things like another body for Trump, another victim for the Clinton Foundation. President Trump retweeted, quote, another conspiracy theory linking bodies to the Clintons. The theory was also about you, Mr. Trump. The Clinton Foundation deserves its piece done on them. Meanwhile, after another autopsy was done on Epstein, a medical examiner concluded that there was no way a man of Epstein's height and weight could have caused enough force to break or fracture three bones in his neck. Typically, a person hanging himself breaks one bone in their neck. Epstein's neck was crushed. Michael Baden went on 60 Minutes to say that the fractures in Epstein's necks are consistent with a strangulation. He is a very experienced man in this field. And was he taken seriously? Was any further investigation done about it? No. I believe the members of the secret society, like Epstein, was a key member. I believe that Epstein strategically placed cameras throughout his estates, compromised several powerful men. Men who never went, who never want, claim they never went there, but what they really don't is they never want their names affiliated in Epstein's fame of being a sex-crazed pedophile. There is no way nobody knows anything. I'm not buying it. I am talking about a man who had a padding on the floor of his Boeing 727 jet so that it was convenient to have sex on the floor. And that was known. A man who had several pairs of prosthetic breasts mounted to his tub in his island mansion. So, as disturbing as all this gets, no one knew anything. This man and his like-minded friends and associates are probably extremely disturbed and very paranoid. They do not belong in royalty. They do not belong in the White House. They do not belong anywhere in our society. This is the reason to create and be a part of a secret society today. A society of Satanists and pedophilic child molesters who one day will get what they all deserve. They can hide from the media. They can lie and cheat and mislead the public. But God sees all their deeds and their black hearts. These people will continue to commit these despicable acts until we all join with the courageous women and fight their fight against this important war on this secret society. What if this clan of people, the secret society, got their hands on your daughter? Who will you help then? With Epstein out of the way now, who will expose this cult of animals? When will the truth be told to the public? When will the public, eaten enough of their lies and BS, finally stand together and say enough is enough? This was a very hard article to read. Like I said, the poor fella that I gave this assignment to. There's a lot of stuff in here that I couldn't include because it was just too graphic. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a deep, dark, hidden world. You walk by these people in the street. You sit by them in restaurants. They go in front of podiums, preaching and teaching, writing laws. They're philosophers, academics, musicians, artists. They're people that sometimes your kids look up to. And they belong to a secret society. A violent society of both men and women who prey upon the younger, most innocent children that are in the midst of our tender care and protection. One has to ask themselves, how do these people get a hold of these children? Well, obviously, and it's very hard to listen to, but they use other children to recruit them. So while we are worried about the stranger danger of the adult abducting the child, sometimes it's a child who is coercing another child. That's hard for me to think about. It's hard to consider. How do we stop this? Well, we bring to light as much information as possible. Today's podcast was hard to get through. I couldn't go through with everything because of some of the explicit nature that was in the write-up. I commend John, who wrote this up. This will be posted on the American Vindictus Show website. It will be under the Ravencore section, which is where you'll find the work for the independent journalists who are currently working for me. And I want this to be known between Ariel and John, they do this for free. They're, you know, I don't make the money like Alex Jones and Fox News be paying people. So, you know, pray that one day we get enough donations that we can, accommodate them for their very hard, diligent work. But they're doing this because they love God. They're doing this because they want information known and they care about their country. That is the duty of patriots. There's all different types of ways that you can help fight this situation. You can help by getting your kids better prepared for the world by not lying to them, by teaching your kids how to keep themselves safe and protected, especially while out in public, by instructing your children in a godly manner as to how not to stray away from the herd. And children will do that. You know, so we have to be able to, as parents, not to be the helicopter parent, but you know, to be there and observe and monitor over our children's well-being and make sure that they're picking the right friends, that you know, we control the better part of what they do until they leave the nest, because if not, then we're setting them up for failure. You're not to be your child's friend. You're to be their parent. And sometimes that means you have to have a little bit of a hard reckoning with them. I know, you know, I have four kids and I get suckered all the time when they come and say, "Daddy, Daddy, can we have this? Can we do that? Can we have another chicken? Can we have another kitten? Can we have another ice cream?" And a lot of times I give in, but I have my ground that I stand upon. I'll take this for an example. Yesterday we're at the park. I don't like going to parks very much. I'm at the park. I'm obviously carrying a firearm. And I have my back turned to the park, watching the area around the park. And I'm the only man doing that. For the most part, it was all women and the children. Children are running wild like heathens. That's, you know, that's what children do. And the, you know, the poor mothers and grandmothers are out there trying to run after them. But I was monitoring and observing everything that was around me, because we've had such an epidemic of active shooters, of the attempts of active shooters, that if you go outside and you are not armed and you are not vigilant, then you're taking your life into your own hands. I'm not saying show up with your AR-15 and a tactical vest and helmet and stand out there while the kids are, you know, on the seesaw, but be active, be proactive in the protection of your children. When you're out in public, they can be snatched up. They can be tempted by talking to somebody and straying away from you while you're on your phone or ordering food. You know, that's I'm constantly moving back and forth around my kids. That way, you know, no one can ever get from one side or the other of my child. Just like I would be whenever I'm protecting any type of person that I'm hired to protect. I'm never in one fixed place. I'm always hard to predict. You have to think like this now. Just imagine what happens when you're at the next mall and you're ordering your hot dog and all your food, and you know you're out and you're shopping, and then you hear that audible bang, bang, bang. What do you do? Did you carry your firearm in? Were you in a place where it said you couldn't carry your firearm? What do you do with your children now? Best thing that I can tell you to do is immediately upon any type of gunfire, stop what you're doing, look and listen. Look for the direction people are running. Look for the direction the heads are looking, the eyes are looking. There will be one idiot that will have his cell phone pointed in that direction. You find that idiot and you run the opposite direction that they're pointing their phone. Pick your kids up and run like hell. Now, I guess you can say I'm weird, but I do not partake in the better half of society anymore, because I do not go into places that say you can't carry a firearm. You can't carry a firearm? Fine, then. You don't get my business. You obviously cannot do that your entire life because of the DMV, or if you have to interact with the government anyhow and have to go to IRS or Social Security, I get that. But for the day by day, you choose where you go, you choose where you shop. You know, it would just be a dang tragedy to see this to continue to happen. And since Uvalde, there's been three other attempted mass shootings right here in Texas. And then in Florida, a 10-year-old boy was recently arrested for texting a classmate saying that he wanted to go on a shooting spree in his school. A 10-year-old boy, elementary school. My oldest daughter is 10, and I have never, outside of, you know, bringing a snake to me every now and then and saying, "Daddy, what kind of snake is this?" Or, you know, a chicken or a frog or a turtle. We live on a farm, so, you know, farm kids. Other than the most innocent of things, my child has never even thought of something like that. So that's very bizarre for me when I hear of stuff like that. And it just goes to show you that the climate is changing in America. There is a spirit of violence that is uprooting itself, and it's centering itself around our schools, around people who are mentally ill, and we have to be prepared for it. Nobody wants to hurt anybody, I believe. I honestly believe that. Nobody wants to ever have to shoot anybody. However, and this is my final take, the world's crazy. Be prepared. Have a concealed handgun insurance on you. Have some sort of insurance on you. Lawman insurance is one. USCCPA, I think, is another, or CCA, the Concealed Carry America. I'm telling you right now, the last thing you want to do is you want to get into a shooting, and then you're going to be arrested, you're going to be processed, you're probably never going to get your gun again, and then you're going to be charged for murder or attempted murder, even if you're not guilty of it, even if you were defending yourself or someone else. This is the process that, you know, law enforcement and the district attorneys and U.S. attorneys just have to go through. So then it goes through a jury trial, and the jury will say yay or nay, most likely yay, that, you know, yeah, it was a good shoot. I don't want to predict anything. I'm just saying, you know, let's say in good faith. And that's probably going to cost you a couple years worth of going back and forth to court. Also being booked into jail, having to post your own bond. If you get a concealed handgun insurance company, a credible one, and just look up the top six, right? You will most likely walk out within a matter of hours of that jail. Your attorney will be there, be present for you from the beginning to the end, and they'll handle every bit of the fees. I've talked to them before when I was taking my concealed handgun class. I'm telling you right now, that is my personal recommendation for anybody that carries a gun. Have that. Have the ability to always have someone to call. Here's the two most recommended. United States Concealed Carry Association and U.S. Law Shield. I had that wrong. So U.S. Law Shield and United States Concealed Carry Association. I'm not paid to say that. These guys don't give me any type of money for it. I don't talk to associates of them. I just know people that are in the realms of law enforcement and not in law enforcement who have this and who recommend it. And I'm telling you right now, for like $10 or $15, $20 a month, it's a good thing to have. All right, guys. I've ran my mouth long enough. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.